Good evening and welcome to the Buck Stops here. Tonight we're asking whether we as a society have just become so brutalized that our reaction to anything that's against us is violent. This question needs to be addressed in the wake of a brutal killing by a mob of a young dentist in Delhi on Thursday night. Trouble began when Dr. Pankaj Narang scolded two men on a motorcycle who brushed past his son when the child had run into a by-lane to retrieve a ball. The two returned with 13 others armed with iron rods and bludgeoned Dr. Narang to death. Was it road rage? Was it personal enmity? Whatever it was, couldn't this have been resolved less tragically? Is Delhi a city on a short fuse? But of course, before we go on to our key focus tonight, an update on the Indo-Pak front. A day after Pakistan claims to have arrested an Indian national accused of spying, government sources not only rejected all charges of his spying, but have categorically asked for consular access and proof of that arrest from Balochistan, as the Pakistanis allege. But even with this latest tension on a joint investigation team with Pakistani officials from the ISI and military intelligence will be at the Pathankot Air Base tomorrow to gather information on the terror strikes at the airbase in January. The team will have limited access to locations and witnesses. Security personnel are off bounds, but nonetheless, this cooperation is unprecedented. Sudhiranjan Sen reports.
For the first time, Pakistan or Pakistani investigators will be allowed access to witnesses in India. This has not happened earlier. But this Pakistani joint investigative team that is coming in to inquire or probe the Pathankot attack will be given access to witnesses, which includes SP, the superintendent of police, Salvinder Singh, who, if you remember, had been kidnapped by the terrorists, and his car was used to reach the Pathankot airbase, his friend who was with him, and the cook. So witnesses like these, if the Pakistan joint investigative team wants, will be allowed to speak to them. What they will not be allowed is to speak to the NSG that carried out the operation, the Garuds, the Indian Air Force Commandos who carried out the operation, or the BSF who carried out, who were there at the border. However, if the Pakistani team wants, they will also be taken to the point of infiltration, and the route followed by the terrorists will also be marked. They will be allowed to follow that. So that is a big, big first for India. And for Pakistan, and also for India-Pakistan relationship. Also, what we are being told, keeping in mind the sensitivities of these forces, they will be allowed into the Pathankot airbase. Mind you, it's a forward airbase that has fighters, that has other assets out there. They will be allowed into the area where this encounter took place. That is outside, the encounter took place outside the technical area. However, to prevent any view of the critical areas of the airbase, they have already erected barricades, and the team will be allowed to go only in that restricted area. The team will be allowed to see from where the terrorists came in, which was the first point of contact, where the gun battle happened. They will be given access to the entire thing. Besides, India is going to share the entire evidence that has been collected by the NIA. Which includes the items that have been picked up from the terrorists, the identities of the terrorists that India has established, and what we are told, it is not only the identities that have been established, but also those who helped in planning and executing the attack. All those links, those chain links from in Pakistan has been worked out by India. These will be given to Pakistan. In a way, it is a complete and free access that we have not seen earlier. What the government of India is saying, that this is being given to Pakistan as a gesture of goodwill, and they want to see how much Pakistan goes back and acts on these. Also, what we are being told, at a later date, if required, India might request that our team or the Indian team of investigators go to Pakistan for investigations. Mind you, India has already sent a letterogatory, that's a request from an Indian court to a Pakistani court, which is a legally acceptable document for help in the investigations. And it is on the basis of this, India may also request Pakistan to allow an Indian team to go to Pakistani soil and carry out similar investigations.
Right, thanks Sudhiranjan Sen for that report. All eyes on that visit tomorrow. But let's move on to our key focus tonight. Delhi, is it a city on a short fuse? A dentist, as we said, was lynched by a mob outside his home on Thursday night. On a quiet evening after revelers had gone home from Holi, he accused two men on a motorcycle of being rash when they brushed past his 8-year-old son who had gone out into the street to retrieve a ball. They came back with 13 others and iron rods and beat him to death.
English trainer Bhavna Ehlawat has decided to change her office timings. She works in this institute in Vikaspuri, which is right next to the house of Dr. Pankaj Narang, the dentist who was beaten to death with sticks and rods by a mob on Wednesday night. Bhavna used to stay back at work till 10 p.m., but now she and others who live or have offices in this colony feel threatened.
Street lights was a problem, yes, it was sorted out, but sometimes we feel, after this incident, yes, we feel insecure, we as a lady.
There are only 3 residential buildings on this lane, besides a hospital and some private institutes. But the fact that a 40-year-old man can be lynched by a mob outside his house has brought several people out on the streets. It's not just unrest on the ground. The police had to speak out against those spreading rumors, both online and offline, trying to give a communal colour to the incident, connecting it to Bangladesh cricket team's loss on the T20 match with India.
Rumour फैलाने वालों से बचना चाहिए और जो rumour फैला रहे हैं हम इसकी भी जांच करेंगे और जांच करके जो भी जिस भी तरह की बात बनेगी आगे further action.
Families of the 9 accused live less than a kilometre away from Dr. Narang's house. Keeping the rumours in mind, police has been stationed right outside. Chandni's brother was the biker who was the first to get involved in a scuffle with the deceased dentist. Her mother and cousin brother went later as part of the mob. They claim they have been living here for decades.
तीन भाई हैं, दो भाई गए, छोटा एक हमसे,
एक छोटा बच्चा, दो बहन हैं, बस दो बहन हैं।
35 साल यहाँ से रह रहे हैं हम, बच्चे थे हम, बड़े हो गए अब, यहाँ रहते हुए हम सबके रहने वाले हैं, आज तक किसी को गलत नहीं करा।
It's not the first time that a fight which has started out over a trivial incident has blown up and led to a huge tragedy. But for the residents of this neighborhood in West Delhi, it will take some time for them to put this incident behind them and get back to a normal course of life. With camera person Dhanpal reporting from Delhi, Tonima Biswas for NDTV.
Right, well, to talk about this particular incident and what it says about all of us as a society, I'm being joined in the studio by Mr. Praveen Kataria, who's with the Residents Welfare Association of Vikaspuri, where Dr. Narang was brutally murdered. Sadia Delvi, journalist and author, joining us in the studio to talk about what this really says about the city that we inhabit today. We're being joined by also Dr. Sameer Parekh, who's a psychiatrist with Fortis Hospitals, Fortis Healthcare. Thanks for joining us from your residence as well. We're hoping to be joined by Kiran Bedi as well on this. Mr. Kataria, let me actually come to you first. If you can tell us, as a society, how are you all coping with what has happened?
ये जो क्या नाम है जैजा कॉलोनी है ये हमारे बिल्कुल घर के सामने ही है और इसमें कई बार वारदातें होती रहती हैं और अक्सर छोटी छोटी बातों पे ये जो जैजा कॉलोनी वाले कोई ना कोई वारदात करते रहते हैं और इस पे कई बार दिल्ली पुलिस को भी हमने लिख के दिया. अभी 4 महीने पहले 20 नवंबर को भी ये 20 नवंबर को हमारी साइड 3 कॉलोनी के एक बच्चे को इन्होंने क्या नाम है मारपीट की. उसके बाद हमने दिल्ली पुलिस को भी लिख के दिया कि भाई ऐसे से ये वारदात हुई है तो क्यों हुई है ये, मगर इस पे कोई एक्शन नहीं लिया गया. उस टाइम वो अरेस्ट किया गया मगर उसके बाद उनको छोड़ दिया गया.
तो ऐसा कोई हादसा, ऐसी दुर्घटना हुई है पहले जहां पे किसी की जान चली गई है? ऐसे बात
नहीं, ऐसा कोई दुर्घटना नहीं हुई. पहली एक दुर्घटना से अभी 2-3 महीने पहले गार्ड को मारा गया था, वहीं कॉलोनी के गार्ड को मार दिया गया था. उसके बाद एक घटना हुई है.
और ये क्यों होती है ये बातें वहां पे?
ये जैजे कॉलोनी शराब पीते हैं, शराब पी पू के थोड़ा सा नामा करते हैं.
ओके, ऑलराइट, सो यू आर सेइंग एसेंशियली दैट देयर इज एन इश्यू विद अ स्लम दैट इज राइट नेक्स्ट टू योर नेबरहुड. Sadia Delvi, before I go to our other guests, let me bring you in on this, because you know what Mr. Kataria is talking about is the kind of petty crime you'd see in a lot of big cities, class divide, economic struggle, things like that. But I think we're talking about a larger issue. This is when you have two people on a motorbike. Maybe they were driving rashly, maybe they were not. A man has the right to come out and say, watch where you're going. Don't look out for people on the road. You can have an altercation, you can have a disagreement, but for them to come back with iron rods and bludgeon a man to death?
It's really shocking. But I really want to begin with condolences to the family. I would also like to say that let's not look at this as a Delhi specific thing. We are seeing more violence all over the country. We are seeing political murders, public, we are seeing gang rapes, not just in Delhi, all over. Journalists being killed. There's just the men who were lynched in Jharkhand for suspicion of beef.
So a culture of violence.
You are saying there's a very serious culture of violence spreading. And I really see this as a manifestation of a much larger malaise in our society, which is becoming very aggressive, very violent. I don't like to use the word intolerant because it's a very politically loaded statement. But I do think we need to look very seriously at our religious, political and social discourse, because what we see, even members of parliaments, they're using very violent metaphors, chop my head. When we are asking for punishment for the rapists, we are saying hang them, lynch them. Yesterday I was on another television channel and one of the callers said, let's take these boys and kill them in a similar manner at the same spot. So
an eye for an
eye, it's very
scary.
Very frightening, it's what very is happening. And then and the whole thing is that we keep, every time it happens, we talk about law and fear of the law. We politicize issues, we politicize gang rapes, we politicize murders, public hangings.
But what about the deep-seated cultural
aspect? Yes, it is. And you cannot keep talking about laws, which, and juvenile justice.
I think that's an important
thing. We cannot
thing.
Raise societies on fear. We have to teach people, it should be organic, respect of human life,
trusting of each other. Right. So let me bring our other two panelists into this. Kiran Bedi, Sadia Delvi touched upon some very critical points. Take, for example, even the Nirbhaya case. There was talk about the law. Rape laws were changed in the country as a fallout of the kind of brutality we saw committed against Jyoti Singh in the Nirbhaya rape case. Now, at that time as well, the discourse was, it's one thing to talk about the law as a deterrent, it's another thing to change the attitude of people.
Absolutely.
How does the police cope in a situation like this where, we're talking about statistics that we have from a survey conducted by the Delhi police. This has come out in the Hindu newspaper. They say that 17% of 541 murders that were committed in Delhi in 2015 were on a sudden provocation.
Maya?
Yes, Ms. Bedi, if you
Maya,
can.
Maya, I think we need to understand. Yeah, I can hear you.
Go ahead.
Maya, Delhi is one-third JJ colonies. They're one-third JJ colonies. It is one-third slums. And they are very high dense population. And it is also all kinds of crimes actually perpetrated there. Not only perpetrated, they actually groom. They grown there. And they also get sheltered. They also get harbored. The drug abuse, alcoholism, dropping out rate, all kinds of domestic issues, prostitution, all these issues are very heavy in slums. And I think they're very thinly policed. The JJ colonies need a lot of community policing. They need a lot of community policing. And on the contrary, most of our policing or beat system is more in the VIP secured areas or in maybe gated communities. We need to bring in neighborhood watch or block watch systems in the slums. We need to have a crime prevention plan for the slums, for the JJ colonies, because they literally inbreed crime. The dropout rate and all kinds of social evils are very heavy in the slums.
Right.
And they're least policed, if you ask me. and they are also very unhealthy. They are pretty, they are almost neglected from the city civic society management point of view.
We'll come back to you in a moment. Ms. Bedi, we'll come back to you in a moment. Let's bring Dr. Sameer Parikh as well into this, because I think the question that we're talking about, you know, you're raising a very valid point. These areas need more policing. They need more deterrence for sure as far as these perpetrators
Maya,
of violence
really
acts
expect the police
concerned.
To be there every time a ball hits somebody,
so
please.
I want to ask Dr. Sameer Parikh, you know, law and order and deterrence is one aspect of it, but I think here what we're talking about, and again I'll go back to this survey, the police say they receive 2 calls every minute over silly and avoidable issues. I think people get provoked very easily. We see it all over the cities. We see it in parking lots and parking spaces, which have become the new sort of metaphor for urban violence and urban rage. You know, where do you draw a line? How do you change this culture?
See, Maya, what we need to understand is that every time some incident happens of any kind of violence, we do end up having a cross-sectional interaction, mostly intellectual, be it in the print or in the visual media, maybe across coffee tables, and it ends there. And the society almost hibernates or sleeps over, almost waiting for the next incident to happen to raise its conscience and do something about it. Let's accept facts, and I'm speaking purely from a psychosocial point of view.
Right.
The fact is aggression has increased. The fact is aggression is celebrated in various ways. We celebrate aggression in sports people, where we don't realize that when you sledge, when you abuse a player, absolutely, young people are learning from it. We also celebrate aggression, yes, on reality television shows, where meaner, ruder, abusive behavior gets more votes.
Mm-hmm.
We also look at how there is bullying, there is ragging, there is molestation, there is teasing, various forms of crossing of lines in terms of violence are happening all across. So your young minds are actually living in an environment where they are being desensitized and disinhibited to violence. That's point one. The other aspect is, let's not use the word road rage anymore.
Yes.
Because the moment we say road rage, we almost end up thinking this was an impulsive act from a poor person who couldn't control his nerve, for that matter.
Right.
That has no place left. You are talking about something where something happens, few more people come, then they come and act on something. Enough people were there to realize that maybe we should stop rather than encouraging each other.
Yeah.
Because when you use the word mob, you are doing a social phenomena called de-individuation, which means you are saying it's a group, but we don't know the names. Use names.
Right.
Deterrence is not about policing alone.
Well, Mr. Parikh, I want to warn you, though, that, you know, one of the fallouts of using the names, and of course social media being as vibrant as it is that, you know, this was taking on an utterly disgusting, if I may say so, communal color as well. The police have issued a warning.
Absolutely.
That anyone trying to communalize it is going to be severely dealt with. So I don't know if using names necessarily is going to make a difference.
What I mean
I want to
say something about, or respond to also what Kiran said when she talks of police. We also have police brutality plays a very large role in the brutalization of our societies.
Okay.
So let's not keep talking about how the police should be there.
Right. And I think that's an important point as well. Kataria sahab, yahan pe jo baat ho rahi hai, wo keh rahe hain ki jo violence hai, marpeet ka jo culture hai, wo har ek level pe society mein aa chuka hai. Ek tarike se JJ colony ya slum colony ki sirf baat nahi hai. Hum log
itna nahi aa chuka jitna yahan aaya hai. Kyunki yahan to berehmi se mara gaya hai. और इतना मारा गया है कि ये तो मतलब कसाई भी नहीं मारते ऐसे, तो जिस हिसाब से उनको मारा गया है, मतलब ये एक तरह से वहां पर जो रह रहे हैं वो एक ज्यादातर कसाई रह रहे हैं जो ये कसाई का काम करते हैं, ठीक है. इनको तो इसी बेरहमी से मारा गया है जो कि कोई देख भी नहीं सकता कि जिस हिसाब से उनको मारा गया. डॉक्टर साहब
जी, कटारिया साहब, लेकिन जो बात चल रही है यहाँ पे, अब जैसे बलात्कार की बात होती है, वहां पे भी बेरहमी से जो जुल्म किया जाता है वो भी एक
किस्म. वी आर ऑलरेडी टारगेटिंग द कम्युनिटी ऑफ कसाइज एंड स्टीरियोटाइपिंग इट. आई एम सॉरी, आई हैव अ वेरी सीरियस इशू विद दैट.
सिर्फ जो आदमी वो काम करता है, चाहे कसाई हो, चाहे वो बैंक में काम करता हो, चाहे घर पे कोई खाना बनाते हो, वो बात नहीं है, बात वायलेंस की है, जो एज अ सोसाइटी अगर हम अपने घर में किसी और तरीके से वायलेंस बर्दाश्त करते हैं या किसी और पर बरतते हैं, तो फिर ये एक कल्चर हम लोग आपस में पैदा कर रहे हैं, हम लोग सब जिम्मेदार हैं इस कल्चर के लिए।
बिल्कुल जिम्मेदार हैं। देखो अब जो पड़ोस में हैं उन्होंने भी तो ये बर्दाश्त किया है ना, अब ये कुछ बता तो नहीं रहे किसी को, आस पड़ोस के लोग इतना ही शोर मचा देते, चोर चोर बोल देते, कुछ ना बोलते चोर चोर ही बोल देते, तब भी वो भाग जाते शायद।
मगर यहाँ पे तो लोग आए थे मदद करने के लिए आए थे।
नहीं नहीं, कोई मदद करने के लिए नहीं आया उस टाइम,
तो कोई सब लोग खड़े होके देख रहे हैं कि क्या हो रहा है,
अपने अपने घरों में सब खिड़कियों में।
तो फिर हमारे लिए क्या,
मतलब ये तो एक इंसानियत, ये लोगों की इंसानियत मर चुकी है जो लोगों ने देख के भी उनको बचाव नहीं किया उनका।
आई थिंक दैट्स अ वेरी इंपॉर्टेंट पॉइंट दैट ही इज मेकिंग, बिकॉज़
तो लोगों की बहुत ही ज्यादा इंसानियत मर चुकी है वहाँ के लोगों की।
नोबडी वांट्स टू पुट देमसेल्व्स इन ट्रबल, व्हिच इज वेरी, यू नो, वी हैव, इट इज अ सीरियस मॉरल क्राइसिस व्हेन योर नेबर इज, यू नो, ब्लीडिंग टू डेथ एंड यू आर, यू वांट टू कीप अवे,
कोई भी नेबर बाहर नहीं आया।
दैट्स एक्चुअली हैपनिंग एज वेल। किरण बेदी, कम बैक इन ऑन दिस, बिकॉज़ यू नो, let's keep law and deterrence away from the conversation we're having today. The police of course will have to have a role in any situation that spirals out of control. There will be calls made to the control room, whether or not they come on time, that's a separate debate entirely. I think what we're talking about, you know what Kataria Saab is saying, that you had a mob of over 13 men come with iron rods on Thursday night and beat up a 40-year-old man who was trying to protect his son. His brother-in-law came out to try and protect him. He was beaten up as well. In that entire street, not one neighbor came out to try and stop this violence. What does it say about us as a society, Dr. Bedi?
PCR ko.
Maya, that's exactly when you came in while I was offering you the long-term solution.
Huh.
We go all over the discussion, but we don't attack the root issues. And the root issues is absence of community policing. If you don't patrol and work together in peacetime, how will the neighbors respond in terms of crisis? Hmm. You need to police together to prevent crime all along. These slums in these areas, as I was explaining to you, are not having the kind of policing.
How does
Maya, again, please
policing?
Let me complete.
Hmm.
I think I'm the only cop on your panel, and I'm giving you a very experiential answer.
Hmm.
Allow me to complete, please.
Hmm.
What I'm trying to say, and that's the long-term solution, is peacetime community policing.
Hmm.
In community policing, you have neighbors, and you have the cops. And you have also have the people, you also have the local residents, you also have the local pradhan, you even have the local corporate or a politician.
Hmm.
So once you work together, you develop a preventive approach when it comes to crisis.
Okay.
But when you've never seen eye to eye in normal time, how will you respond in crisis? So these slums, each one of them, the one third is Delhi, needs to have a crime prevention community policing plan in which there used to be thana level committees. And they need to work together to prevent these problems.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sorry.
I must respond.
You
will respond. I want to add a corollary to that question as well. There might be some validity to the idea of community policing. I mean, we have to draw the line between vigilantism and community policing, but basically, I think what she's also trying to say in a roundabout way is that we all need to watch out for each other as well. And that will happen. But yeah, go ahead and respond.
No, I'm just shocked at, you know, coming back to constantly policing and also talking about, you know, slums. A lot of slums are safer than our middle class colonies. So let's not say that there is, you know, no, I'm talking in terms of, you know, maybe
a sense of maybe community
no. In terms of crime, it's not like that. It's just you know that the crime takes place in slums.
Yeah.
We have crimes in very upmarket colonies.
Yeah.
And please, let's not talk about public again lynching or mob violence as you know as seen in slums. I'm a writer. I've just backed out of some public lectures. I don't write as much. I don't come on television as much because somewhere there is serious concern about if I say something politically incorrect and it doesn't go well with some group or the other,
someone
like me has serious concern about being lynched publicly.
Dr. Parekh, I want you to come in on that.
So that's a whole culture of lynching that we are
Dr.
dealing
Parekh,
with.
It's not about people in slums. What are the solutions? We just have 30 seconds left, so I want to give you the last word.
So let's look at the solution. Solution is community needs to come closer. The fact is that we are distant from each other. Let's go beyond socioeconomics and slums. Let's accept facts. People to people interaction is less. Relationships are on the low. Empathy to each other is less. My solutions, look at media literacy and change into the way media reports incidents. Let's look at balancing of the good things that happen and the not so good. And the not so good should be more on the consequence side and not on the action side, so that societal learning happens. But we need to encourage empathy in the society, that people stand up. At the end of the day, if one person is crossing a line and 10 others stand up,
right,
there is nobody who can continue to cross the line.
The line. I think that's an important point.
One last line.
End on. We need
to repair our moral social fabric. We have to build a society based on trust,
respect, we need for that,
and honoring human dignity.
Right. I think what we need for that as a society is a tremendous amount of introspection in highly volatile times. And I think we have, you know, this is a debate that can go on for an hour or two, if not more. But I think it's a debate that we need to have ongoing with ourselves, within ourselves as well. We'll have to end it here on The Buck Stops Here. But please do think about these issues at the end of the show. Thanks for watching.